Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Tuesday, March the 12th. It is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, we are on day 24 of our 40-day Lenten fast journey. I pray this has been a time of spiritual rejuvenation, renewal, and drawing closer to God. If you have been on an interview lately or a first date, then I'm sure you were asked this one question. Tell me something about yourself. When people ask you that question, what is your standard response? What is your common line? How do you most frequently introduce yourself? There's a lot that gets revealed in that one response, because when you're trying to make a first impression, you're trying to represent yourself to someone in such a way that they'll know who you are, or at least who you want them to think you are. This is referred to as your identity, how you perceive yourself, or at least how you present yourself to be perceived by others. This is your identity. And this would be a good time to think about it. That is how you perceive yourself and how you present yourself to be perceived by others, because your identity determines your destiny. Who you think you are determines how you live and the kinds of decisions you make, the things you decide you will do and will not do. And how we come to understand ourselves and our identity starts when we are young. Chris Rock did a documentary years ago called Good Hair. And this movie was produced to try to understand this mindset of Black women regarding their hair and the great need to have hair other than their natural hair. He stated that he got the idea when his young daughter came to him and asked him, "Dad, how come I don't have good hair?" On August the 6th, 2012, some of you remember this, a 16-year-old Gabby Douglas won the 2012 Olympic gold medal in two gymnastics categories. And this was a historic win. She was the first African-American to win in this category for top honors in the all-around gymnastics competition. So many people rejoiced around the world for her win. Yet in the middle of all of this positivity, the condition of her hair eclipsed the brightness of her accomplishments, mainly because we are overcome by the idea that hair in this situation plays such an important part of who we believe we are and our beauty. Because at a young age, once the sense of self develops, we formulate a categorical self. We become aware that even though we're separate and distinct objects or entities or beings, we also exist in the world. We exist with other objects and beings and entities, in that each of these objects has properties, including ourselves. Think about it. In early childhood, these categories that children apply themselves to are very concrete. They include our developmental age, our gender, our sex, and the skills we have. And because of these social constructs, as a child, we learn to place value over the categories we associate with. And so now a child knows the difference between light skin and dark skin. And if that child has lighter skin, that child will begin to place value on his or her skin as superior to darker skin. Our identity starts when we're young. The color of our skin, the texture of our hair, the makeup of our body, whether we are athletic or artistic, funny or withdrawn, identity starts to get established. People start to give you nicknames, some of them negative, some of them positive. And then you hit junior high and everybody's confused about their identity. And you are plagued with the question, who am I? What group do I belong to? Because that becomes the age when people start to gather according to identity groups. So it's athletes over here, artists over there, creative kids over here, smart kids over there, smokers over here, non-smokers over there. Everybody organizes in groups. And then you start approaching your teen years, your high school years. And now your identity is largely formed by, well, what's your grade point average? Are you dating anyone? Are you single? What are your hobbies, your likes, your activities? And how do you dress to present yourself? And a lot of that helps establish for you an identity. That's why sometimes students will have a crisis where they're changing their appearance, hair color, clothing to fit in with a different crowd, to be approved, to assume an identity so that they can have a tribe to run with. And what helps to sort of increase or and exasperate all of this is social media. Instagram, what photos am I going to put up to show you who I am? And Facebook, what am I going to tell you I'm doing and not doing? Or Twitter, what am I going to link to? Or what things am I going to comment on? Snapchat, TikTok, all of which is trying to create an identity. This is who I am and who I want you to perceive me to be. And it continues on into college. And then you have a chance to sort of reset. It's like, well, maybe high school didn't go well. I want to reinvent myself. I'm going to do things differently. And again, an identity gets established by dating relationships and grade point average and major and performance in class and fraternities and sororities and groups. And then you graduate. An identity is set by what job did you get? Are you going to grad school? Are you in a relationship? Are you seeing anyone? Are you able to buy a house? What kind of car do you drive? You paid off your student loans yet? And it continues. You get married. Now your identity is in relation to someone else. And then it's, can we have kids? Can we not have kids? If we have kids, do we even like kids? What are we going to do with these kids? Can someone please come take these kids? And now the kids are grown and gone. And all of a sudden you got an identity crisis because you have a life change. And what happens is some of us never really get clear on who we are, or at least who we're supposed to be. And herein lies the crisis. You're older now. But you've yet to live out the answers to these questions. Why am I here? What have I been put on this planet to do? What is my destiny? Because the reality is you have a purpose. You were created on purpose. You were formed, fashioned, and knit together by a skilled craftsman, not by some arbitrary cosmic explosion. You are not an accident. You are not an incident. You are not a mistake. You are not just a glob of protoplasmic material that is the result of a reckless night or a weekend thrill. You are not just a mere mixing together of DNA. God did not say, uh-oh, when you were born. You have a divine purpose. You were allowed access into this dimension of life by the nod of the creator God, God's self, that you would be strategically placed at this time, at this age, in your gender, in your ethnicity, with your gifting and with your talent for God's divine purpose. That's a fact. Nothing can change that. You are valuable. You got something to offer. But when we are not clear on our purpose, on our destiny, who we are and where we are supposed to be, the enemy will use our actions, our conversations, or even our ambitions for the detriment of God's kingdom rather than the upbuilding of God's kingdom. because Satan knows how valuable you really are and will use you as an accomplice to the other team's victory. As a child, I loved recess. And during recess, we would play football. And I'm so glad we didn't have grass at my school because I wasn't into that tackling stuff. So we played flag football. And I remember this one incident when I intercepted the ball and I felt like I was somebody. I sprinted with all my might. And when I reached the end zone, I spiked the ball. It was a touchdown. I was excited only to find out that I did score a touchdown, but for the wrong team. Instead of turning toward my opponent's goal line behind them, I turned toward the goal line we were defending. I had unwittingly been an accomplice to the other team's victory. And I was reflecting on this morning. I came to realize this doesn't just happen on the playground, but it happens on the battlefield of our daily lives. That perhaps without us realizing it, the enemy can use our energy and ambitions and conversations and actions to score points for the other team. Whenever we fail to carry out God's plans and center our lives in our identity in Christ, we score points for the other team. And this, church, is the crux of Satan's temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Satan's strategic attacks targeted not just Jesus's physical needs or desire for worldly power, but fundamentally his purpose. Each temptation was a carefully crafted attempt to lure Jesus away from fulfilling his divinely ordained mission. The first temptation, to turn stones into bread, appeal to his basic human needs. The second temptation, to throw himself down from the temple, presented an opportunity to gain public recognition through a miraculous display of power. And then the third temptation, an offer of dominion over earthly kingdoms, was a grand proposition of power and prestige. Jesus, fully aware of his purpose and his connection to God, he remained steadfast in his resolve. He countered each temptation, get this, with scripture, reaffirming his commitment to God's will. This episode serves as a powerful reminder that Satan constantly seeks to divert us from our God-given purpose. And his go-to tactic in our lives is to break the hold of the word of God over us. When Satan tempted Jesus, he began by saying, "If you are the Son of God." So he takes what God has declared and he casts doubt on it. Satan puts question marks in your life where God has already put periods. Sometimes he'll move from questioning God's truth to outright denial. But many times the question itself is enough. We find ourselves like Adam and Eve doubting. Does God really have my best interest at heart? Does God really have a purpose and plan for my life? And when we entertain doubt about what God has declared about us, it can lead to a domino effect with significant consequences, shaken identity and purpose, weakened decision making, hindered faith and relationship with God, and then the ripple effect. Because when we start to question what God has already said concerning us in God's word, it creates a breeding ground for negativity and it hinders the spread of the gospel. But in order to defeat Satan and prevent you from questioning what God has already declared concerning you in God's word, you need to know what God thinks of you and then affirm it over your life. Because affirming God's word over yourself and others is crucial because it speaks life into your spirit, it speaks life into your body, and it speaks life into your soul. Church, to be victorious, and I talked about this briefly on Sunday, to be victorious, you need to understand who you are in Christ and declare it with boldness. So let's practice. I want you to repeat after me if you can. I am a child of God. I am chosen and dearly loved. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am holy. I am blameless. I am an heir of God. I am more than a conqueror. I am complete in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my strength and my song. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am the light of the world. The Lord is my shepherd. Church, when we declare who we are in Christ, we do more than simply utter statements. It's a powerful act of embracing our identity, building faith, overcoming negativity, and aligning with God's will. In essence, declaring who we are in Christ is a powerful tool for aligning our thoughts and actions with God's will. It empowers us to live a life filled with purpose, a life of confidence, and the true, unwavering knowledge of God's love and God's faithfulness. Remember, wrapped in the loving embrace of God, you are not just who you see in the mirror. You are a beloved child of the King, chosen, redeemed, and forever worthy of God's abundant grace. So welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got, church, is right now. If this is your first time on the call, I want to welcome you this morning. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and I get to lead an amazing group of people called Grace Community Church. And I'm thrilled all of you got up this morning to share in this sacred space. Can we pray together? Almighty Father, as we conclude this reflection on identity and purpose, we lift our hearts to you in gratitude. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word and for reminding us of the truth of who we are in Christ. We acknowledge, Father, that doubt and uncertainty can cloud our vision, but we place our faith in your unwavering love and promises. Help us to combat negativity with the affirmations of your word, reminding ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, children of a loving God. Grant us the wisdom to discern your purpose for our lives and the strength to fulfill it with dedication and passion. May our actions be a reflection of your love and grace in the world. Father, as we get our day started today, we stand firm in your name, resisting any plots, schemes, or manipulations aimed to bring us down. Your word declares that you are greater than any power or force that opposes us. We shield ourselves with the armor of God, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. We denounce the enemy's attempts to sow discord, discouragement, or destruction. We cancel his plans with the power of your name and the authority vested in us through Jesus Christ. Surround us with your angels of protection. Guide our steps, illuminate our path, and extinguish any foothold the enemy may try to establish in our lives. Fill us with your unwavering peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. And may your strength and purpose overshadow any doubt or fear the enemy may try to instill. We declare victory today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory Tell me, who can stand against us when we call on that great name? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Thank you for that victory that is ours in Christ. It's in that name we pray. Come on, church, shout amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in to the prayer and devotional call this morning. I pray that it was a blessing and an uplift for you. As always, the replay will be uploaded to the website this morning. Hey, listen, I am praying for you today. I am rooting for you. So be mindful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.